Jesus' name, we ask that you take the glory and let no one take the glory. We thank you for lives that are changed, lives that are imparted, lives that are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to get into the study of God's Word pretty quickly. And I thought to, can't tell how far we're going to go. But I'm trusting that we are going to introduce a teaching, and then via the teaching, there's going to be clarity on something very important we need to uphold as a church. And I took time just wondering, prayerfully wondering what I was going to share with you today. We're looking at honor from the heart. Honor from the heart. And like we always do, we're going to have quite a study. Because everything that we do should be taught in clarity. So, as my duty always will be, is to show you through God's Word what our topic for discussion is, and to overwhelm you with a number of scriptures that point you to that reality. Okay? So we're going to be looking at honor from the heart. If you say honor, it depends on which school you went. Some will say honor, others will say Anna. But either of the cases, we know what we are talking about, right? So, right. So, I believe that this conversation is something that we will keep having as a church, as it remains one of the key reasons why God will have His way amongst us. And also, it's going to keep us in the direction we ought to take. I strongly believe that what we are about to discuss is the lifeline for our flourishing as a church. Reverend Chris Onyinka says something that I want to quote from. He says that no church with a slight on honor will do anything tangible in the work of a ministry. No church with a slight on honor will do anything tangible in the work of a ministry. It means that every ministry that will prosper and that will do well does not have to play around with this concept. You know, we live in a world today where everyone has their own ideas. Oh, you know, I met somebody not too long from now. The person said, as for church and your work with God, you know, you have to bring your own ideas. And then I also bring my own ideas. Then we can box them together and then make a solid idea. But that's actually not true. Because the world has its own ideas. The world has its own principles. The world has its own philosophies. The world has what she chooses to believe in. The world has its own customs. Has its own social behaviors. And the truth of this matter is that these beliefs, they change over time. That's why you can have your parents say, Nkola mabamungu adie. So the person is trying to say, 30 years ago, the children I knew are not the children we have today. Why? Because philosophies change, customs change, social behaviors change. Right? I grew up in Tamale, spent most of my years in Tamale, maybe first 20, 21 years in Tamale. And growing up in a Muslim community or a Muslim neighborhood, you would realize that they are very high on respect. And, you know, the Northerners actually have that standard of respect. So, growing up, you see an adult, you're supposed to probably, you know, bow to greet, right? And sometimes when you go to somebody who is truly elderly, right, you squat to greet. Now, some other cultures have it quite more extreme in Nigeria, where bowing is not enough. And squatting is also not enough. So you lie down. Nigerians, is that true? Nigerians. It's true, right? So you lie to the floor, isn't it? So I've seen videos of people who meet somebody and immediately they lie on the floor. Now, you're going to find somebody who says, what kind of culture is that? What kind of culture is that? Why should you lie down? Why should you squat? In fact, why should you bow? Can't you just say, yo, what's up, man? Right? So, you find out that people have different ideas, different customs, different social behaviors, different beliefs. In fact, every home is not the same. There are some homes, when you pass by your dad in the morning, without greeting, you are in serious trouble. Right? Serious trouble. Then you come to some other homes, where you don't even see your dad around. Like you don't even see. And not that he's not okay. He's actually like very okay. He doesn't have a problem with you greeting him. He's fine. My dad, I have a dad like that. Doesn't have a problem with anything in this world. Whether you greet him, you don't greet him, you say hi to him, you don't say hi to him. He's very quiet. I tell people that my dad has not advised me once in my lifetime. Like he calls me down, he sits down, do it like this, do it like that. Never. He just watches you quietly. So that's another kind of a family. When I told him I was getting into active ministry, he looked at me quietly. He asked me one question. That was the end of our conversation. It's very difficult. Can you do it? Yeah, that was all. That's the only thing. It's very difficult. Can you do it? That was all. Some of you should try that. You see. So, if you knew me when I came to level 100 in Central University, if I met somebody who I had great reverence for, you see that I vowed it just to recognize that. Because that was how I was brought up. So you see that cultures are very different. Right? Now, the truth of the matter is that as we grow older, or as we grow in this world, there is that tendency to be cultured like the world, or as the world will be cultured. There's that tendency for our minds to be shaped differently. In fact, some of us attended schools, very beautiful schools. Like you see, a Wesley Girls, like I always say, because they are very distinct, right? A Wesley Girls student. Nobody will tell you that's a Wesley Girls student. Or it's not true. The girls, even they attest. Even the diction. Then you also see another auntie from maybe somewhere. There's another auntie, so she doesn't care about anything. And so you realize that all of these things have that tendency to influence our lives. There's that tendency to influence our lives, to influence the way we behave, to influence the way we think. You meet some interesting ladies and their mindset is from the senior high school they went to. Yeah. So yeah, we are now gender equality people and we stand for it. We fight for it. We stand for it. You see them with their glasses like this? Yeah, the same. Yeah. Our husbands are the same as us. If we wash the bowls, they must clean the house. And you say, glory be to God. So, these eventually influence our thoughts. The world we grow up in influences our beliefs, influences our actions, influences the way we behave. I was speaking to someone and I told the person, I said that, let's not worry. The way this person is behaving is because of where this person was brought up. Like when you even bring calm words, the person wants to pull out a knife or something. No understanding. He doesn't understand. The slightest, we can work it out. Hey, are you trying to say, hey? The voice goes over the roof. So I said, no, you know what? Let's just calm down. Because we know where this person grew up from. He told me where he grew up from. So let's calm down. Let's not fight with him so much, right? So you see that people are influenced by so many other things. And the believer is not an exemption. In fact, many of us had strong influences from our backgrounds before we actually got to believe the gospel. Right? Yeah. Things that we used to do at home. Then we got to believe the gospel. Some of us even started going to church before we were actually born again. Took us maybe 10 years or 15 years to actually get born again. So, you can see that there are influences shot from every corner and from every space. There's everywhere. There's influences coming from every space, every place. And like I said, the believer is not exempted from these influences. You are not exempted from these influences. You're not exempted from these ideologies. So, since we live in this world, after salvation, there is that tendency to pattern our lives like the people of this world. There's a very high tendency. Something as simple as you're passing by a place, you hear a song that's playing. You know very well that that this song is a dangerous one. But for some reason, you go back into your room and then you start giving the beats to yourself in the room. How many of us have experienced something like that? Yeah, the words of the song, it starts to play in the place. And you know something? There's a particular word you never seem to forget. But you have not listened to the entire song. You've not listened to the entire song. You're not listening to what the song says, but when that line, you can quote that line, you can say that. No, let's be spiritual. Let's not allow those songs to begin to play. So it starts to play, then you now start to bind. I bind, I cast in Jesus. I bind, I cast. I bind. Say, oh, where's this thing coming from? The funny one is when you wake up in the morning and it still pains. Oh, I'm the only one. The first thing in the morning, that particular line, is what you need to play. Where did you pick that from? There was an influence. Do you see that? There was an influence. There was an influence. There was something that you heard. Something that you know, you found yourself where you found yourself in. Some beats. Like even maybe when you hear, say, Othniel hits a key something and it passes that line. And then you say, yeah, I'm in church, you know. Sing. And the worst of them all are those of you who have those songs on your phones. Take your seats. And then it begins to play. It begins to play. My goodness. So, these are influences. And I have like very good ears for music. So, I remember I was with someone in the car and we passed by a song that was playing. I turned to the person and I said, this guy has really, really wasted his talent. I said, that's an exceptional gift. It could have been used for God. But here he is using it to write something for some lady, some uncle, some enemy. Oh boy. So, I'm just trying to help us see that the believer is not exempted from these influences. There are times where, if care is not taken, you start to look at your brother who's in the world, and you now start to compare your life. Because maybe he works in a place, doesn't have time for church, in fact, hardly found in church, but he seems to have money. And he ravishes people sitting in churches. In fact, he mocks those people sitting in churches. Then you now look at him. He now comes. He's holding an iPhone something something. I don't know. What's the current one? 17. I honestly didn't know that. So, there's a 17 Pro Max. And you see him with a 17 Pro Max. Then your heart, you're like... Friday, you see him posting, he's at a club or something, just 2-3 hours. But Friday, your pastor is saying that you should be in church. Then you now see, oh, I've missed it in life. That's an influence. I tell you how that my friend, very, very close friend, my closest friend probably, university days, senior high school days, he looked at me one day and said, oh boy, let's look for visa and leave the country. I said, but God's not telling you this. Okay? God is not telling you to. I am leaving. And he actually left. So, he couldn't choose the plan of God because there was an influence. Couldn't choose the will of God because there was an influence. Let me not go into influences because they are diverse. Sticking to that influence that causes us not to walk in honor because there are influences. And that's why Paul is telling the church in Rome, in the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, not to be conformed to this world. Turn your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. Conform. You see, someone post on social media, hey, those men of God today. And all of those small boys, they say they are serving God. They are giving collection in church. Ah, the church has now become a money-making center. Ah, these people. I have a guy from Britain, dear brother, he sent me a video. He said that, look at these Christians. What are they doing? Look at them. They say they are in church. And he's bashing. He sends it to me, actually. Sends it to me. He's not afraid of me. Sends it to me. So, imagine you're flipping on Facebook. You now see, the church is like this. The church has done this. Oh, now this. It's not honor. It's not honor. The pastors are teaching people to worship. Oh, it's worship. It's human worship. It's hero worship. You see people kneel down like this. They don't say, Allah Madrid. That one, you don't have a problem. See them sweating profusely. And smelling and everything. And they are there. But the world does not have a problem. Then you now see someone say, thank you, pastor. They say, I think that's human worship. Somebody's got to be crazy. I mean, take your seats. So, Paul is telling the church in Rome, you ought to be careful. You ought to be careful. There's something that is essential as believers. We ought to make sure there's a guide of what we think, how we act, and how we, you know, just carry up ourselves in the world. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Sushematizo, it's a Greek word. You act like. Those of you who are looking for spellings, yes, please. P-S. U. C-H-E. M-A. T-I-Z-O. P-S-U-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. If you didn't get it, take it again. P-S-U. C-H-E. M-A-T-I-Z-O. So, that word conformed is to act like. Is to act like. Or, it's to act like what you are not. You act like, or you act like what you're not. It also means to look for another pattern that is not similar to what you should be patterned after. So, you find people acting like something that they are not. Don't be poured in. I don't know how the minister can truly fulfill God's plan for his life, walking in dishonor. I do not know how. Because I literally see that walking in this is so essential. And you know, while I was preparing for this sermon, coming to teach you this, the Lord told me something. He says, you're going to have many anointed sons and daughters. Yeah. He says that it will not just be for you, because you are teaching them something that is essential for their lives in the ministry. So, Paul is telling the church in Rome, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Take your seat. Do not be conformed. Don't act like it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, First Peter chapter 1 verse 14. Peter uses the same word again. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust. You do not fashion yourself according to the lust that's prevalent in people who have not heard of Jesus. So, as believers, what that means is that there is that tendency to be shaped or to be patterned into something that you are not supposed to be patterned into. There's that tendency. There's that tendency. There's that tendency. There's that tendency where the concept of honor is being explained, and then the world tries to superimpose their beliefs into what is the Word of God. And that's why I'm taking time to teach on this. Peter calls them obedient children. You are not to be poured into, fashioned after, to act like what you are not. See Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So it means that there is an active working of a spirit in people who fashion their lifestyle after the world. He calls it the spirit of disobedience. It means the believer has the spirit of obedience. The one that is an unbeliever has the spirit of disobedience. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. You once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. He calls it the prince of the power of the air. These are unseen forces that, you know, fashion the thoughts and the lives of men. And I can tell you, it's heavily operating today on media. It's heavily operating today on media. You see people walk in clear dishonor towards somebody they should be honoring. You know, I've gone to several places, and people said, they see you and they're like, ah, is it a small boy? So, you can literally see it in their eyes. We expected somebody who was more honorable. This is a small boy. And I'm like, dear Jesus, maybe you should increase my height. Maybe you should increase my height. Because until they hear you, until they, you know, have an experience of you, they say, no, that guy is so much of a small boy. And I oftentimes ask myself, because I'm very intelligent, if I saw something I really want in the hands of a small boy, wouldn't I humble myself and take what is there? It's not difficult. Or it's difficult. Maybe I want something. You don't know me when I want something. You have no idea of me when I want something. 6 years old, I will collect from you. If it takes bowing down and saying, oh, uncle, you see me calling a 6 year old uncle for it, I will gladly do that. So I get amazed. I get amazed. So I say, okay, then now I think I just have to relax. But I'm teaching you this so you will not become a victim of that. Right? Yeah. Some of you think all the people who are saying thank you here, you are better than them. You are thinking about it. All of these, they are doctors. This is a doctor. This is a doctor. This is a pharmacist. All of these doctors, doctor incoming, doctor, all pharmacists, all of them. But you know, they've not gone to school. They are not serious. You are still level 200. Struggling to get consistent A's. Take your seats. You are struggling to get consistent A's. You see? Struggling. That's a lecture. Yes, struggling to get consistent A's. Doctor incoming. Doctor incoming. Doctor. Pharmacist, doctor. All of that. They are serving you. You are level one. What? 200. And doctor, is it another doctor? Nurse? They are not serious people. They are not serious people. 200. Continue. So, you see that you find out that the world thinks in a certain way. Things in a certain way. And if the church is not careful, the church can see themselves in a certain light that they are not supposed to. So Paul, in Romans, in Ephesians, Peter as well, is cautioning believers how they ought to conduct themselves and not allow their lives to be patterned after the world. This morning, I believe in next week, we're going to be looking at honor from the heart. You know, honor has been taught from an outside point of view. But there's something I'm going to do in this teaching, is to make sure that your heart is right in that. So, as believers, we ought to keep these admonitions. Are you listening? We must remain unspotted, guiding our minds with all diligence, renewing it consistently from all forms of worldly information, which has gained mastery over many lives. We're looking at honor from the heart. Honor from the heart. I'll take it pretty short. What is honor? What is honor? And remember, like I said, it can be taught on a very general view. But I want us to look at this from this angle as a church. I told you that whenever there's a teaching in any time or at any period, there's an emphasis. So every teaching has an emphasis. So if we are gathered here, we are gathered to have an emphasis on what it means to have honor. And not just have honor, but it must be from the heart. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then the sir goes, oh boy. Honor from the heart. I believe that this is a part of my ministry. Or this attitude has influenced my ministry greatly. Has influenced my ministry greatly. Is that when I say I honor someone, I first want to make sure it's coming from a central place, which is a place that is not seen with the natural eye, but it's true. Now, it's from that place, there's a provocation of a blessing. It's from that place. It's from that place you provoke the blessing that's spoken over you. Because there's some people you pray over them and it's like praying over a hard rock. Does not penetrate through. Because there is something that blocks the reception of whatever it is that's spoken. So what is honor? What is it? We're going to take it short in bits. Like I said, I'm not too sure if we're going to continue this next week or we're going to end it. But either of the cases, we're going to do some good justice to it. It means to respect, to regard, to respect, to regard, to respect, to regard, to treat as uncommon, or to treat as sacred. To value. To esteem. And of course, if it's coming from the heart, it's going to be from a place of sincerity. Not just with outward words. From a place where the motive for honoring is right. You know, you can give good gifts to somebody, say something nice about them, yet you dishonor someone in your heart. Greatly, grossly. Grossly. And that gift shouldn't be given in the first place. Because the blessedness that comes with that starts centrally from the innermost part of a man. So, honor from the heart. Beyond what we can see. Beyond what is visible or the natural eye. Deeply rooted and seated within. Yeah. From the heart. From a point that is not seen. A point that is not seen. You regard. You respect. You truly mean what you say. And I'll tell you, if you don't honor a man, don't let him pastor you. Don't let him pastor you. If you don't truly honor a man, find somebody that you truly honor and be pastored by that individual. It's true. Because you're not going to be blessed. And that's why people who are close to men of God are the ones who many of the times do not receive. Many of the times, it's tested and proven. You see them close, around. Then you see someone say, I was watching him on TV, I've been watching him on TV. But the person exemplifies the exact life that they see. And then you find somebody close who's not being blessed. Because they cease to treat as sacred. They see it so consistently that it becomes common. And so they stopped receiving. For those of us who were here, some time back I called a few other people and I said, you guys should listen to me. Let's not take for granted the move of the Spirit that happens in this church. And I told them, because once we start to do, there will be a decline. There will be a decline. Once we start to say, oh, it's too much. It's too much move of the Spirit. Why is that we coming on a Sunday? And the whole place is scattered. Okay, would you rather not have the place scattered? And a dry, empty atmosphere? So there must be a reverence we put on that. Now, I would like us to pay attention to this. We're looking at Mark chapter 5. And then we'll jump on in at chapter 6. So we said to treat as uncommon, sacred, revere. Now this is Jesus teaching honor strongly. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. While I was reading this, I was blown away. I tell you. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now this is Jesus in Mark chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1 to 9, having a manifestation of the Spirit of seeing a madman healed instantly. Right? Now this was what the man had to say in verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. So this is just Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, pay attention, don't sleep. If you sleep and I get you, we don't sleep in this church. I make you stand up willfully and gladly. This is Jesus casting out a demon. And it's not just one demon, it's a legion. Right? A legion of demons, several thousands of demons. So he casted out a legion. Now, that's the first thing that happens. I actually had to note this in my Bible. Now look at this in verse 21. We're moving on to another scene. Now this is he leaving that space. In verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell to his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and thronged him. That means a great multitude were on him. Now look at what happens in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So he was supposed to heal, but now the person was dead. So they came to give him information that the girl is finally dead. Pay attention. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of a ruler of a synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, the girl arose and walked. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But then he commanded them that no one should strictly tell, no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Pay attention. Is that a second mighty miracle of the dead? I'm telling you, when you stand before the dead, if you don't have God, you'll be helpless. I stood before the dead, and people are saying that, raise, you'll be helpless. At the mortuary, you see another monk, you see another dead body, you say, wow. And he stands before the dead, holds her by the hand, arise. The girl woke up from the dead. That's a mighty miracle. Pay attention. Let's go back to verse 25. Verse 25, take your seats. Verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse when she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now she said to herself, was not looking for him to lay hands on her. She said to herself, that was quite some premium honor. "I don't need to talk to him. Once I get to touch him, I'll be well." She said to herself, and she got what she was looking for. Another mighty miracle. It's quite interesting. No laying on of hands. Just the hands stretched out in faith, touching the hem of his garment. And then there was a miracle. So, this is Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Has raised the dead. Has dried up fountains of blood. Oozing out of a woman. Has gotten someone healed. Right? Then, chapter 6 verse 1. Pay attention. We're moving in. Did we see him do mighty things? He casted out devils. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. He dried up someone who had oozing blood out of her parts. Completely healed. Now these are standard miracles. Chapter 6 verse 1. Sad. Then he went out from there. So he comes out from the mighty Jesus, who looks at a man who is possessed with a legion of demons, casted the demons out, the demons are gone. Meets somebody. "Your daughter is sick. We want you in the house. We want her healed." He does not get there on time. The girl is dead. He raises the dead up. Wow. Wow. When somebody was been bleeding for 12 years, the person didn't even say, Bijir, I command the blood to stop. She just says, no, I don't need all of those. I don't need all of those. I just need to touch that song. That song. This happens to me severally. I can't even tell you. Standing by the road, I turn, shake someone, the person falls off. Hack someone, the person falls off. There's something distinct in that. Is the power of God? Yes. But much more, there's an emphasis of how you see and regard that fellow. Says, I'll just touch. And when I touch, I'm going to be healed. Told you I've seen this more than twice. People walk to me in the middle of the market, known and nowhere. Maybe somebody who is drunk or something mad comes to me, walks to me directly. Kneels down in the midst of the people and says, please pray for me. I know you're a man of God. I don't know you from anywhere. And I've not met you before. Now, in chapter 6, verse 1. He went out from there and now came to his own country. Sit down. His own country. His own country people. The people that knew him. His own country people. His own country. His own country. His own church. You know, as you pastor, you get to see people who are familiar. Oh yeah, well, we know him. He's our own man. He's our own man. Oh, he's our main man. Who? Pastor? Oh, our own man. Is he not the one that gives the down cut? He's the one. Our own man. Yeah, he doesn't have any beer. Oh, he's the one. He's the one. We know him. We know him. You know him. Yeah. Oh, he's our own. Oh, he was my classmate. I mean, I know how to do that very well. Classmates will relate beautifully on classmate levels. Very well. I am good at it. Own man. He's our own man. He's very nice. Oh, he's our own. If you like, I'll call him right now. He'll pick the call. Right now, he'll pick the call. Hello! I thought he'll pick the call. I thought he can't say he'll pick the call. If you message, I'll message him right now. Say, hello, pastor. Message, I'm not too sure. But now I've changed, actually. I'm getting better. Say, hey! It was worse those times. Now I'm getting better. Oh, you know me. I speak to you every single day. In fact, look at it. 11:45, you call me. His own. And his disciples were following him. And the Sabbath had come. Then he began to teach in the synagogue. His own country. He now begins to teach in the synagogue. He now begins to teach in the synagogue. He now begins to teach. He now begins to expound the word. Look what they did. And many hearing him were astonished. What's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on here? These are they that honor me with their lips, but their hearts are very far away from me, the prophet Isaiah says. What's going on? Astonished. Astonished. They were astonished. Saying, where did this man get these things? Where did he get it from? How, where did Pastor, since when did he start teaching? Oh. Hey. Look at this guy, we know his story. A scandal came out of him that his mother is called Mary. Father is called Joseph. How can you say that? You didn't do anything, but a child came. He's now coming to say that he's teaching. They were astonished. So, So, since when they gonna call you? He has left his plenty beard like this. Ah! Those people with beards, you have to be careful, oh! They are not correct! Pastor, they were astonished at his teachings. And look what happened. What wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Hey, is this not the carpenter? Ah, we know him. Ah, he's a carpenter. Now today he says he stands in the people to preach. Stands in the middle of people to preach. Oh. Why did he leave the pharmacy? Is it not because of money? Why are not these people? They're looking for money here and there. So, they were talking amongst themselves. Such mighty works are performed. Is this not carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon. You see, they are mentioning his family members. They know him. They're mentioning all his family members. They know him very well. Look at what he's saying. He said, look, he's even giving us Greek word. Where did this man get these things from? What wisdom is it given to him? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is it Jesus, Savior of the world? If you now say, do now say that you are not correct, let's keep quiet. And this church, when you say something, they'll say that you are against the pastor. The pastor said this, he said, you are just trying to also help in a bit, in a way, he said, you are against the pastor. Everything is pastor has to say it. Can't we also share our opinions? God called us. God called us. I mean, it's quite interesting. Let's be serious. Let's be serious. He has always been saying, let's be serious. But I mean, this one, we should really be serious about it. Boy. Mentioned all his family members. And he said, and are not his sisters here with us? Come on, this guy, we too know him. Brother, including sisters. Wow. He's always to hold a big Bible, he's holding a small Bible. I I'm sorry, I left my big Bible. I want to use this one. So the question. So you see, when you question, instructions, you question the person. But you don't trust the words of a person. You doubt. This is doubt. I'm not too sure. You doubt. Look at the last thing they did. They were offended at him. Because when you put all those facts together, you now become angry. You become agitated. You now pick up an offense. Because we know you. What are you talking about? We have an experience of who you are. We know your siblings. All the people that are with you. We know all of them. Then you now come and say that you are now a pastor. You are now a man of God. Who called you? I meet some of my mates. And they look at me quietly. See, I'm sure they're always thinking, this guy, who's the smallest in our class? I've always been small, so we take it like that. Who's the smallest? I was the smallest in my class, followed by another person. So you question. You question a person's sincerity. Yeah. You question a person's integrity. You question a person's calling. You question a person's background. You question. You have thoughts in your mind. I'm telling you that from the heart, and from the heart, you are dishonoring. You question a person's words. You question a person's advice. Now, why am I teaching it like this? It's because I really want you to walk in all of God's will for you under His pastoral care leadership. Have thoughts. You suspect. There's this suspicion. Suspicion. You disbelieve words of prophecies. Say, prophecies. But now we don't live by prophecy, we live by skills. Connection. We have our own connections. We don't need anything spoken over our lives. You give reproach. You do not recognize. Yes. You don't trust the person's words. Like you take the thing and you take it with a portion of belief and quite some portion of disbelief. We're actually going to look at all of these. I'm still introducing you in. We're still looking at honor from the heart. Person says something, but you think otherwise. It starts deeply from there. You see, we should give you a church to pastor. That's what we have to do for you. We'll give you 2 months to pastor this church. Only two. You will see something. You see how it feels to pastor. Say, no. So you question. You know, one time, I was with a few of the guys, and we were working. I was moving from my place to another place. Okay, sit down and hear the story. It's a beautiful story. And then we were removing the things from my previous place to my new place. So I think we're left with the fans. So when we unscrewed, I told one of them that, when you unscrew, would you touch the wire? Be honest with yourself. You have unscrewed. The fan is that you have unscrewed. You can see the blue wire or something just there like that. Will you touch it? Let's be honest. Be honest to yourself. Would you touch it? Nobody will try that. Right? And I told them that this thing will not shock you if you touch it. Yeah. And they laughed. They laughed. So I was still waiting to see whether they would touch. They didn't touch. I said, it will not touch you. It will not shock you. You can see the wires coming out of the thing like, it will not shock you. And I said, touch it and see. And they said, so there was a laughter. I was paying attention. The bedroom, no touch. And I said, so you don't believe me that if you touch this thing, it will not shock you. Would you touch? Be honest. No. Would you touch? Do you? I'm trying to make it more real to you. It's outside, showing. But me, I would have said, I would maybe speak in tongues before. Shaba, come on. Mantu, Shaba, Yakata. It's just a caution, right? So even you touch. So we moved. They were all laughing. I said it again. They were all laughing. How I knew that they were not, they were screaming with caution. And I said, oh. Then we went to the hall. We went to unscrew. And then I saw that one person touched the thing and was holding it. And I said, you touched it? Oh, yeah. I said, did it shock you? I said, now leave it. That simple instruction, it taught me a very great lesson as to how one person said, and the person was holding it. He was holding it like this. And I said, it's okay. Don't do that to shock you now. I said, touch it. Don't do that to shock you now. Holding it. I said, it's okay. So it got me thinking. Take your seat. I was like, that's the same for pastoral instructions. Don't go there. No. It looks like it's the way to go. I have to go. This one, it will shock me. I'm going to die. Pastor wants me to die. See. Let's believe God. Let's trust God. God's word says this. He says that we can stand on this, okay? Say, Master, where it has reached right now, I think I need to find somewhere. I need to do something. I need to get my hands involved in something else. So, you see that? Many people are not being blessed because they cannot simply believe what is being said. That was just a story, by the way. Let's go back. So, they had things going through their minds. And you know, actually, for you to speak something, you actually have it well processed. So in their minds, they were thinking, Jesus is the mother, the father, you know him, the daddy. Oh no, it's not you. Ah, what are you talking about? Oh, we don't really believe this. Why would I joke with something such as electricity? Because I wanted to shock you. I want an earth wire to be used. I want you to be shocked by an earth wire. I mean, it's not wise. So if I say it will shock you, I really know what I'm saying. It's not going to shock you. I want to say, shock yourself. Hey, next time, don't listen to you. Don't listen to your father. Don't listen to your mother. Only listen to God Eternal, Most High. So they had thoughts in their minds. This Jesus, we know him very well. Now look at what happens in verse 4. Jesus was not standing in front of them, but definitely he knew their hearts, he knew their thoughts. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there. So when you see no mighty work happening in a ministry, I can tell you, there's a bridge that's broken. One time, you know, a church shares a story about they were laughing at their pastor when they went to Korea because they were Europeans and then they went to Korea. You know, Korea has a very good honor culture. They will open the door for the pastor. They'll say, thank you to the pastor. And the congregation said, look at our pastor. He has become a king here. When he comes back to Europe, you see who opened the door for him and who say hi to him. Yes, they've seen that their pastor has become a king. Has become a good, important personality. And they were actually laughing when they went to Korea. In Yodo, in Dr. Yonggi Cho's church. Oh, pastor has become very important here. But amongst us, he's not really anything important to pay attention to. Don't forget, the reason why we are teaching this is so we don't see as the world sees. Are you listening? So, this is Jesus. He says that anybody who is anointed, whether an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, that person will not be respected in his own kindred, amongst his own people. Now, why am I teaching this also? It's so that we do not commit that error. Are you listening? We don't commit that error. So, remember, the mighty Jesus doing many mighty miracles has been left to do nothing. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work. It means that there was no miracle there. Except in his own country, amongst his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Look what he did. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching and preaching. So, the miraculous working power that was upon Jesus was cut. The only thing he could do is to teach. So when you find your pastor coming here, and every time he comes in to teach, as good as foundational teaching is, the ministry of teaching is to any church, when all we can do is to say, let's look at this, let's do it. And even with that, you're saying, when are we closing? It's too much time to waste here. So that was the only thing that Jesus could do. Save, he also laid hands on a few folks. It's actually a mechanism of healing. It's that when you don't get the people to believe, you now have to use the gift in itself. And that gift cannot get everyone healed because that gift is highly dependent on the person and also on the recipient. So the only thing he does is that he lays hands on a few. He establishes contact with them. On a few. I showed with you how last week T.L. Osborne shares how that majority of his healings were not through laying on of hands or, you know, physical healing methods. The word was given, They acted on the word, and then they got healed. So this Jesus, he has to take an extra mile. So in a space where you are not honored, you have to go the extra mile. In a church where there's no honor, the pastor will have to do something extra. He has to always struggle with the people. Common diagnosis of a doctor, we have to pray about it. That shouldn't be the case. So Jesus is laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick healed. He's laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick healed. He's laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick healed. Now, look at this. In Mark chapter 6, the same Mark chapter 6. So he has left them. Are you listening? He goes around preaching again. Now look at Mark chapter 6, verses 33. After he left them, the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Was moved with compassion. Now, it's in that story he multiplies the fish and the bread. Now, after he had moved from an area where the people were not honoring him, he moves to another place. And there's a mighty miracle happening. Now, pay attention also. Verses 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. So, when you can recognize, when you can recognize, I recognize this man of God, that's why I make him come in front. If not, I would say, oh no, you sit where you are. Sit where you are. I don't see you. It's not important. What's so special about it? What's so special about you? What's so interesting? I recognize. So, when the people began to recognize the grace of God upon his life, watch what happens. They ran through that whole region round and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Then look at what happens. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, countries, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. This time around, Jesus, we don't know who you are. We don't know your family. We don't know where you come from. We don't know your humanity. We're not paying attention to that. All we know is that we're seeing somebody who can perform miracles. So we're going to bring all the sick people. We're going to bring all the dead, all the blind, all the lame, all the people who are sick. And we believe that as you lay hands on them, they are going to be well. They are going to be healed. They are going to be well. Take your seats. So, Jesus is much effective in the last verse of Mark chapter 6. Powerful in Mark chapter 5. That miracle worker we all knew was effective in chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 5. Beautiful worker. Chapter 6, verse 1. Trouble. Trouble. He could not do anything. He was left helpless. That's why, as a man of God, I don't pray for people who are sick, who don't believe that God can heal them. It's only in some special cases where I probably want the person to believe the gospel. But if you're there, oh, I don't believe. You are the one that is sick. You are the one that is not well. A powerful miracle worker. A powerful miracle worker. Raise the dead. Cause fountains of blood to cease oozing out. Casted out devils. Gets right into chapter 6 verse 1. He was helpless. He was marveling. He said, hey, my goodness. Marveled that the people will not be healed because they will not receive from him. 6 last chapter. People have brought sick people and he's raising them up. So no, don't touch. You don't need to touch now. You don't need to touch. Just pass by. Just pass by. Just pass by. You see, so when you can honor by thinking properly, you can see that in Mark's account, the people were not thinking properly. They were not thinking properly. They could not think properly. In their hearts, there were no thoughts that were good. Probably just, you know, a bit of a confirmation again. Yeah, we've heard he teaches this amazingly, but we're not too sure. We can't really tell what kind of a man he's made of and all of that. So when you begin to think properly, you know, a couple of days or weeks back, I was somewhere and then said, many people cannot recognize. That's why many people are not anointed. Yes. So many people cannot be seriously graced. Yes. Yes. Not many people. Not many. Not many. I'm telling you, not many. But you see, you are a different congregation. Amen. Your lives are going to be so full of the grace of God.
Amen.
So I was sitting at a place, I was eating, take your seats. And there was this, you know, celebrity woman of God, what I call celebrity, because that's how you will know the person is probably huge and the person, you know, well known. And the person got into the space. And was I eating? No, I wasn't eating. I actually went there because I went to do a few writing. And then she's sitting there, but I don't know whether it was her son and then somebody who was known by her. And I lifted up my head and I saw that she was the one. I said, oh, what a gift. You know, I could have said, Facebook has messed this person. There are a lot of lies about this person. A lot of untrue things about this person. This person did this to this person. And it's true, it's all over Facebook. It's all over the internet. I looked up, I said, what a gift. Then, I remembered one of the person's songs. Many years back, the moment I heard the song, I knew the song was anointed. Boy, I knew. There was grace on that song. I said, what a gift. I said, what a gift. So I was now looking at, okay, you know, is this something I can do to denote that I recognize? I can see that there's something special that is in the place. See, but other people are going to see it and just walk past by. Just walk past by. Oh, you are the one that is not graced. And you'll be the one that is not graced. Walk past. Can't recognize. Can't see. Can't tell. Can't appreciate. You can't even tell. Then, I waited when they were done. I just walked to her and I said, I could have said, oh, I'm a man of God and I'm not supposed to be taking care of somebody's meal. Take your seats. I'm a man of God. I'm revered. I mean, what is it? There's nothing too special about it. Nothing too special about it. And I said, I want to pay, just last 2 weeks or so, just want to pay your meal. And she just started crying. I knew it was the grace of God. God wanted me to receive something. She just started crying. And she started speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about something that I didn't see, something that I saw myself. And she started speaking in tongues. And she started speaking in tongues. And she started speaking in tongues. And she started to speak words over me. She started to speak words over me. And she took the handkerchief and said, I don't even know why I'm crying. I mean, in a split second, I was quite amazed. I mean, quite dramatic. In a split second, she starts to cry. She starts to cry. She doesn't know me from anywhere. Then words came out of her mouth. God's prophet. I knew she was prophesying. I knew she was prophesying. I knew she was prophesying. I knew like my name. She started speaking out words. I can't tell you the words she spoke. She started speaking out words. Speaking out words. Speaking out words. And when I was done, she held my hand. She said, I don't even know why I'm crying. I knew why she was crying. I knew why she was crying. And then I said, thank you to her. And she said, thank you to me. And I was going. She says, come back. That's what she said. Come back. Do you want to know me? Take my number. Now, I don't need a number. By the grace of God. Not that I needed something. But I just took it and I said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And she said, I want you to come here. I mean, just like that. Just like that. So when you can begin to think rightly, you can begin to think rightly in a certain way. You ought to be able to think rightly. You don't argue. I don't think I'll be able to go into the rest. Let's take your seat. I'll just end here. You can begin to recognize. You can begin to recognize. You can see. You can acknowledge. You think rightly. You think rightly. That's when you begin to see the grace of God oozing out in your direction. We're about to close. I actually have three more, but I will continue next week. But I want you to start to think rightly. Think rightly about the brethren. Think rightly about the man of God. So when you begin to think rightly, you begin to think rightly. You think rightly. You don't question. You don't disbelieve. Like I told you, this place is becoming small. We're leaving this place. We're going to a larger space. A much larger space. Someone who said, do we need such a place? Do we have to go? Must we pay some pieces? So much expensive. I want you to be blessed. Oh, I see. So you begin to think.
Why is he a god and is he somebody that we should be paying attention to? Is he my papa?
I tell someone, there's no precious room around me. It shows that you cannot see what you have ahead of you. Let's just look at that. But begin to think properly. When you see the gift of God, when you have the gift of God, when you can recognize, you can see rightly, You can see the hand of God doth rest upon him. That's my pastor. He's my leader. He teaches me God's word. He instructs me in the way of righteousness. He counsels me in the way I should go. When you begin to think rightly, there are right thoughts that need to be thoughts concerning the gift and the grace of God. If you're going to walk in the power of God, in the move of God, if you're going to have an ever-flourishing church, an ever-multiplying church, you ought to begin to think rightly. Who's seen that? Where is he from? We know him. He's the phenomenal. We know his parents. Oh, you know that he does this. We know him as a pharmacist. I know people today who still call me farm. Yesterday they are calling me for a prayer, and yesterday they are calling me farm. You see, you're not seeing right. It's like you're seeing Jesus as the Son of God. And you're seeing Jesus not as the Son of God. So in offering from the heart, it comes from the place where you have consistent right thoughts about the person. I've seen times where God has passed things over to me. He has passed things over to me through men of God just because I thought rightly about them. So right now, what right is in the heart? That's a seed of this is God. Pray and ask God right now. Thoughts that are not right specifically. And I'm telling you that these thoughts must be ripped out of your heart so you can enjoy the gift and the grace of God given to you.